The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message.
The Word of God for us, to us, 2024, is restoration. Restoration. God will restore. God will restore. Joel chapter 2 from verse 24. Joel 2, 24 and 25. The Word of God says, "And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vats shall overflow with wine and oil." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, your floors will be full of wheat. Your vats will overflow with wine and oil in the mighty name of Jesus. And he says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust had eaten, the cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmerworm." God's promise is that he will restore. To restore is to, two words, re and store. So when the storage is depleted, when your whatever represents storage that should be full of abundance is depleted, God says, "I will restore. I will restore." For health, if your health is depleted, God will restore. If your relationships are depleted, God will restore. Everything that pertains to your destiny that is depleted, God will restore. If your finances are depleted, God will restore. God will restore. And you may be thinking that, if God restores me, even where I was is not even anything to write home about. You see, to fully understand restoration is not only restoration to where you used to be, it's restoration to where you ought to be. Hallelujah. Restoration to where you ought to be. So in God's timeline, in God's master plan, in God's blueprint for your life, restoration is God bringing you to date, bringing you to speed, to where he has designed for you to be. And that is so, 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 so powerful. So, so powerful. The real words of scripture, we need to pay attention to them. For instance, repent. To repent means two words, re and pent. Simply means to go back to the top. So when you repent, when you say someone repent, it's not going back to where you were. It is not to reenact where you were, it's to reenact where you ought to be, which is seated with Christ in heavenly places. So when we repent, we are being restored back to position. Hallelujah. And that is the beauty of our God. When, another reward, redeem. When we are redeemed, is buying us back. So it is not buying you back to your best life. You know, some people think, "Oh, I have had a good yesterday, and my yesterday was good. If only God can restore things back." Listen. God's restoration is going to go beyond your yesterday. In the name of Jesus, it's going into your tomorrow, into the plans of God for you. And this is so, so, so beautiful. So to restore is to bring back to that place that God intended. To bring back your resources to that place that God intended. To bring back your health to that place that God intended. To bring back your mind, the peace of your mind, to that place that God intended. God wants to reestablish you. He wants to restore you. He wants to empower you again. Hallelujah. Let's take a look at a couple of examples in Scripture and draw insight from the Word of God. Noah, for instance, God said to them, him and his family, get into the ark. They got into the ark. The flood happened. And in Genesis 8, verse 1, the Word of God says that, but God remembered Noah. God will remember you in the name of Jesus. God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and livestock that were with him in the ark. And he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. Remembrance is key to restoration. So to remember is to bring the members together again. So when God remembers you, he restores you to that place that you ought to be. Heaven will remember you in the name of Jesus. Heaven will remember you. And God remembered Noah. And he sent a wind over the earth and the waters receded. All the waters that has helmed you in, God will cause them to recede in the name of Jesus by divine remembrance. God will cause the wind to go over the earth. God will cause the waters to recede in the name of Jesus. Amen. Take Rachel and Hannah, for instance. In Genesis 30:22, it says, then God remembered Rachel. Hallelujah. God will remember you. God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. God will remember you. He will listen to you. And he will cause you to conceive. You will have your own children in the name of Jesus. God will remember you, he will listen to you, and he will cause you to conceive financially. If it's financial fruitfulness that you're trusting God for, he will cause you to conceive mentally with ideas that will change our world to the glory of his name. God will cause you to conceive by reason of remembrance. So we see, and I'm going to draw a thread through a couple of these scriptures. We see here that God listened to her. This means that she was talking to God for God to listen to her. So one of the keys to remembrance is that you have to keep bringing your case before God. God listened to her. God will listen to you. God enabled her to conceive. God will enable you to conceive. In the mighty name of Jesus. 1 Samuel 1:19 says, early the next morning, they arose and worshipped before the Lord. And then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah made love to his wife, Anna. And the Lord remembered her, remembered Hannah. So Hannah had prayed at Shiloh. Hannah had prayed fervently. So again, that's a thread. You see that thread there between Rachel? Rachel prayed, God heard. Hannah prayed, God heard. God will hear your prayers in the name of Jesus. In fact, God confirmed it through Eli. He says, go, your petitions are granted. So God had heard, but Elkanah and Anna still had to do the needful. So sometimes God has heard your prayers, but you're not doing the things that God wants you to do to trigger the remembrance. And that is so big because sometimes God has heard your prayers for the business, but you need to take that step and knock on that door. God has heard your prayers, but you need to get to work early. God has heard your prayers, but you need to take initiative and do what you need to do. So we see that God hears his people. God hears his people. Classic example, when we see God speaking to Abraham in Genesis 15, Genesis 15, 13 to 14. Then the Lord said to him, to Abraham, "Know for certain that for 400 years your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated. Says, but I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possession." God said that they will be there for 400 years. But Exodus chapter 2, verse 24, God heard the groaning and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, 430 years. So God said they would be there for 400 years. They were there for 430 years until they groaned, until they become unsettled, until they cried to God. Sometimes, the time for the challenge has expired. You need to cry to God. Don't give up. You need to cry to God, and God will hear your cry. God will hear your cry. God said to Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29:10, God says that, this is what the Lord says, the word of God says through Jeremiah, says, when 70 years are completed for Babylon, that they'll be carried away for 70 years, and I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back. Guess what? Daniel was tracking the time. Daniel did not want to spend 74 years or 75 years or 78 years in captivity. When 70 years was done, Daniel, boom, began to pray. It is time for restoration. You need to begin to pray. It is time for God to restore. It is time for us to bring his word back to him for restoration. So remembering, God remembering is tied to God restoring. Again, God will remember you and he will restore you. God also remembers sometimes because of covenant relationships. So there are people God will remember because of other people. There are people God will remember because of someone that you are in relationship with or that you are connected to. Genesis 19:29. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. God will remember you and deliver the people that are connected to you from evil in the name of Jesus. God will remember you. I mean, look at it. It was Abraham God remembered. It was Lot God delivered. And the deliverance of Lot came because God remembered Abraham. So there are some people that you are connected to. Because you are connected to them, God will promote you. God will prosper you. God will remember you. Praise the name of the Lord. There are children that because you are connected to your father, to your mother, to your parent, God will remember your parent and deliver you. God will remember your parents and open a door for you. God will remember your parents and deliver you from a catastrophe. And that's so, so, so powerful. Hallelujah. Again, when we look at the story of Hezekiah, we see the thread of coming to God and reminding him. 2 Kings 20:2-6, it says, Hezekiah turned his face to the wall. This is after the prophet had said to him, thus says the Lord, put your house in order, you're going to die. Surely you're going to die. That's what the prophet said, and turned his back and went his way. And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, remember. It's okay to ask God to remember. It's okay. It's okay to ask God to remember. It's okay. It's okay. He says, remember, Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and I've done what is good in your eyes. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. Oof. It's okay to remind God. It's okay. It says, before Isaiah had left the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him. Go back and tell Hezekiah, the ruler of my people, this is what the Lord, the God of your father David says. Thus says the Lord. Hallelujah. I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears. I will heal you. Hallelujah. For someone here today, God is saying, I have remembered you. I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears, and I will heal you. Do you receive that today? And I will heal you. So, Hezekiah is teaching us something powerful here. He's coming to God and he's saying, remember, oh God, remember, oh, remember, oh, remember your boy. Remember your boy. If I die, who is going to praise you? Remember how I serve you faithfully. Listen, you can get to a crossroad in life that the prayers of Isaiah will not work for you. It is your prayers and the things you have accrued with God that will speak for you in remembrance of heaven. And if you look at it, Hezekiah could come confidently and say, Lord, remember. Nehemiah did the same thing. Nehemiah said to God, God, for the good that I have done for your people, remember me for good. Oh, remember me for good. Remember me because of this good that I have done. You see, can you go before God and say, remember me for this good I've done for your people? If you haven't put anything there, you cannot draw from it. Praise the name of the Lord. You should be able, you see, which is why serving God, and we are not serving God for ulterior motives. We're not serving God because we want to draw on it or because we want to take advantage of any situation. We are serving God because we love God. However, life happens that we can go to God and say, remember my sacrifices. Remember how I served you faithfully, which is why you should serve God faithfully. Because the time comes that your faithfulness will deliver you from death. Oh, yes. A time will come that your faithfulness that will deliver you from death. It says, I served you. Can you stand before the God of heaven and beat your chest and say, I served you, Lord. I served you faithfully. Can you do that? Let it be a challenge to you this year, 2024. That your service will gauge, let's use that word gauge, before heaven. That your service will gauge. That your faithfulness to your God will be tangible and weighty. That you will be able to say, should there be any need for it? You should be able to say before God, I served you faithfully. Because of my faithfulness to you, O God of heaven, turn this situation in my favor. Because of my faithfulness to you, turn this situation in my favor. Remember, Darius came to the lion's den early in the morning and he said, Daniel, the servant of the living God, as the God that you serve daily, as he saved you, hallelujah. My grandmother would say, Ọlọ́run tó ń sìn láì sinmi àti láì ṣàárẹ̀. O wa gbà ọ́ bí. Has he saved you? The God that you serve. Has he saved you? Let your work be done in such a way that it will resound in heaven. And heaven will move on your behalf in the mighty name of Jesus. Because you have a right to lay claim on remembrance. And so sometimes, many times, people don't even know they have a right to do it. And if you don't know you have a right, you don't have a right. That's how it works. You don't have a right until you know you have a right and you exercise your right. If you don't know you have a right, you do not have a right. So you can come before God and say, for the good I have done to your people, remember me for good, O God of heaven. So we see that remembrance and restoration are entangled. 2024, God will restore you. And a big part of that will come by remembrance. And you know what God said in Malachi 16? I'm going to explain this. Let me read it first. It says, then those who feared the Lord talked with each other. And the Lord listened and heard. You see, when you talk to other believers, guess what believers talk about? The word of God. In fact, the picture painted here are people discussing the scroll, the scriptures. That's the picture painted here. And the Lord listened and heard. Then God will now open his own scroll. His own book of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those that feared the Lord and honored his name. So when you speak God's word to each other, to people, and you delight in his word, God will open a book of remembrance for you. That's what we see here. A book of remembrance is opened for you. I say, oh, we need to restore that lady. Oh, we need to restore that boy. Oh, we need to restore that. Boom. Verse 17. On the day when I act, says the Lord, they will be my treasured possession. Says, because their names are written in this, my book of remembrance, when I act in judgment, I will hide them as a precious possession. That's what it says. That's what it means. It says, I will spare them just as a father has compassion and spares his son who serves him. God will spare you from every disaster and catastrophe in the name of Jesus. And you will again see the distinction between the righteous and the wicked, between those who serve God and those who do not. God will put a demarcation. Which side are you going to be on? Hallelujah. So remembrance and remembering is a big part of it. And God will remember you in the name of Jesus for good. But another thing God does is that God causes people to remember you. God causes people to remember other people for good. So there are people that God will, like in the case of Haman, Esther, and Mordecai, God took the slip of the king away so that he will remember Mordecai. God took the slip of his people away, of the king away. There are people that God will take their sleep away so that they will remember you for good. In the name of Jesus, this year, people that need to remember you will remember you. And they will remember you for good in the name of Jesus. And God works through people. He does. That's just how he has chosen to do it. Now, the challenge is that we sometimes... We tend to want to choose the people God should walk through or the time God should walk through them. So you see someone that can help you, you go and you ask the person to, remember me, oh, remember your boy, oh, remember your girl. Oh. And we don't understand that help only comes from above. Help comes from God. When God remembers you, God will cause them to remember you. And when people don't remember you, sometimes we get upset, we get angry at them, we get maybe bitter. But God is saying to you today, don't worry about it. I will remember you. I will remember you myself. I will remember you myself. I mean, classic story we see in Genesis 40. Now, what had happened was the baker and the butler had come to, or the baker, ex-baker, ex-butler of Pharaoh were in prison for some things, I mean, for some reason, and obviously for divine reasons. And Joseph was also in prison. So they had come to Joseph with their dreams. And Joseph had interpreted their dreams. He interpreted the baker's dream. He says, look, they're going to cut off your head. They're going to call you out, cut off your head. And that was what happened. The butler's dream, he interpreted it. He says, look, they're going to call you, they're going to promote you. And that's what happened. But when he told the butler that interpretation of that dream, verse 14, Genesis 14, something very interesting happened here. But when all goes well with you, this is Joseph begging the butler, remember me, please, and show me kindness. Mention me to Pharaoh and get me out of this prison. And he began to make his case. I was forcibly carried away from the land of the Hebrews, of my father's house. And even here, I have done nothing to deserve being put in dungeon. They lied on me. They smeared my name. They put me in here. Remember me, Joseph. Butler. Remember me for good when you go out. And verse 23, it says, yet, in spite of all this begging, in spite of all this edger, yet the chief butler, the chief cupbearer, did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. How do you think Joseph felt? How do you think he felt? How do you think he felt? Oh, do you appear to have been forgotten? Don't worry. In fact, it's a good prayer that let the people that need to forget you until it is time for them to remember you. You see, don't let people remember you prematurely. Don't force things. Allow God to be God. I know it can be painful. Trust me, I know it. It can be painful. You are seeking something. You are desiring something. You've worked so hard. And last minute, yet the butler did not remember Joseph. He forgot him. You were forgotten. You will feel, it's God. It's God. Has God forgotten me? Is God hearing my prayers at all? It's as if God doesn't even care about me. No. Don't worry. God is setting you up for greatness. Oh, yes. May the butler not remember you on time. You know, now, let's look at it this way. What if Joseph had sent messages to the butler, has called someone? Oh, maybe he saved some money. Maybe he had favor with the warder, and he asked the warder when he was on off duty, and he said, can you please go to that butler? He's a good man. I'm sure he just forgot. Can you please remind him? What if he had done that? What if the butler had been reminded and made a case for Joseph, and Joseph had been set free from the prison? What do you think will happen to Joseph? He will just stray away. Maybe try and find his father's house again. Maybe he will just wander off to another country or try go back home or something, he would have missed his divine appointment. I'm praying that the people that need to forget you, let them forget you, so that you can come in contact to the right remembrance that will release you to your divine appointment in the name of Jesus. And when they do forget you, remember, it's painful. No doubt about it. But guess what? You need to realize that God has you covered. God has you what? God has you covered. God has you covered. So Joseph remained in that prison until it was time. Then God caused the same Pharaoh to have a dream. Then the butler noticed the countenance of the king. Then the butler said, I remember. There was some guy. Oh, when we were in prison together, this guy, he has the spirit of the gods. This guy, he was so endeared and convinced about Joseph's giftings that he literally put his life on the line. Because for you to put someone forward at that level, this guy has been to prison almost, he saw his colleague beheaded. And for him to put Joseph forward, he was putting his life on the line. What if Joseph didn't have an interpretation? What if Joseph messed up? But at the right time, he was ready to put his life on the line for Joseph. Wait for your time. It's coming. Wait. It's here. Wait. Don't force it. Don't force it. And they called Joseph. So people are mostly not remembered out of pity. You see, that's the mistake we make. We try to make people pity us so that they can remember us. Listen, most people don't remember you out of pity. Most people don't remember the people they pity. In fact, most people don't even like people they pity. Do you know that? No. So when Joseph was making his case, he was making his case out of pity. Pity me. Pity me, remember me. People are mostly remembered out of necessity, not out of pity. God will make you so necessary that you will be remembered. Your solution that is with you will be necessary in the courts that needs to be necessary in. God will open the scarcity upon them that in such a way that they will need your giftings. So when anybody promotes you or invites you to a place, it's not that they like you. No. Don't get it twisted. It's not that they like you. You have become a necessity. Hallelujah. I pray that you become a necessity. I pray that you become a necessity. You are not to be pitied. You are not to be pitied. Don't ever ask anyone to remember you out of pity. No. They will remember you out of necessity. Seest thou a man that is diligent and excellent in his business? He will stand before kings. They will call for you. They will say, no, we need that lady. Let her come in. Please promote her. Oh, we need that gentleman. Let him come in. And when you are there, remember that it is God that has remembered you. Why? Because this same butler, cupbearer, out of pity, he did. I mean, how human beings are amazing. You need to know how these things work. If people remember you out of pity, they have a noose on your neck, which they tug at. They can tug at. They say, remember, I pitied you. Remember, I'm the one that... So God will not put you in those kind of positions. God will put you in a place where you are not there out of pity, that you are there out of necessity, where you are remembered because of your hard work and your giftings and your talents and your brilliance and your diligence, where they're like, ooh, send for him. Send for Joseph. So I pray for you that God will remember you. He will show you favor when he's showing his people favor. And this is the time God is showing his people favor. God will remember you. Psalm 106 verse 4 to 5, it says, remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. God is showing favor to his people. I have come to do the town crier. God is showing favor to his people. And I said, Lord, remember me as you are showing favor to your people. Come to my aid and save me, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and join your inheritance in giving you praise, O God of heaven. I want to pray with you today. Two categories of people. Number one, those that are getting discouraged. We are going to pray with you. You're getting discouraged. You're feeling, you've been abandoned in the prison. We're going to pray with you. Number two, for those that you are like, how can God still do a greater work in my life? I don't see how. We're going to pray with you. And you are here. Number three, a third category. You want to start a walk with God. It is the first Sunday of the year. You're like, Pastor, I want to start a walk with God. The RP is going to come and pray for these three categories, and it will take it from there. Over to you, RP.
Father, we are just so grateful. Thank you for your children. Thank you for those that have decided to commit their lives to you. If you are one of such, I want you to just say after me and say, Father, I come before you today, and I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I ask that you accept me even today in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe that you died for me, and I use my mouth to confess that you are my Lord. From today, Lord, make my ways pure before you. Make my life be transformed even in your presence. Step into my life, Lord. I don't want to go back into the world. Take all the glory over my life. In Jesus' mighty name. And we're praying for the other two categories, those that are getting discouraged and feeling abandoned. I want to pray with you in the mighty name of Jesus that you will receive encouragement even today in the name of Jesus. Even as God chose the time to remember Joseph, God will choose the perfect time for your remembrance in the name of Jesus. And you will be remembered in the name of Jesus. Everyone that feels abandoned is because we have been looking unto man. Today, because you're in this service, you will no longer be abandoned in the mighty name of Jesus. You will be lifted up in the name of Jesus. You will be restored into your rightful position in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here and you're wondering and saying, how can God still do a greater work in me? Well, I have news for you. That is what God is all about. God will do even greater works in you in the mighty name of Jesus. According to the word of God that says, that which eye has not seen, that which ear hasn't heard, that which has not entered into the heart of man. I dare say that which is not even possible to enter into the heart of man, God will do for us in the name of Jesus. God will do in our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. We give you praise and glory, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.